Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Welcome to New Life Live. We are here today at 1-800-229-3000. When I say we, I'm talking about Dr. Alice Benton and Mylon Yurkovich. Hi there.
Hello.
Hey.
Oh, hello.
Great to be with both of you.
Same here. I want to mention I was preaching yesterday at Northview Church. And you can get that at, I believe it's Northview Church at us.com, something like that. Anyway, or northviewchurch.us. It's a great, go there. Anyway, it's Northview Church in Carmel. And it was about Nebuchadnezzar. And I just love that message. I'd love for you to hear it because it's up and down. And I ended with a very profound point that I want all of you to know. If the horse is dead, get off. Now, that comes right out of Texas. And a lot of people are sitting on a dead horse because it's comfortable. A lot of people are beating a dead horse because that's what you've always done. But I say, just like my grandfather said, if the horse is dead, get off. And that's what we're here for. Get you off the dead stuff and into a new life. And you can get some help for that at 1-800-229-3000. I also told them that a lot of people learn from others' mistakes. But sadly, I've always been the others, and it's not a fun thing to do. You don't have to do that. Don't have to be that. But I.
Funny. That was really funny.
Well, we have two books that I want to talk about today, and for a gift of any amount, you can have either one of these books, whichever one you want. Understanding and Loving Your Child as a Single Parent, or Understanding and Loving Your Bonus Child. Now, the Bonus Child book is with Connie Clark. She's going to be on Wednesday. We're going to talk about this. And then Loving Your Child as a Single Parent is one of our board members who is one of our therapists and does the Restore Workshop, Stacy Sadler. The Bonus Child book that we'll talk about on Wednesday the title comes from me. When Misty and I got married, she had two boys. I had Madeline, and we had two more. And I said to the boys, I'm not going to be your stepdad. Sounds like you're going to step on me, step over me, or step out. I said, I want to be your bonus dad. And I got to tell you something. I've made a lot of mistakes, but here we are 17 years later. We have a blended family. Only 30% of blended families don't divorce. It's really weird.
Oh.
Or predictable, because it's not usually. I mean, with that statistic, people say, should we blend this family? I say, well, usually it's not a very good idea. Doesn't work out very much. But we not only have blended it, but all of our kids really love and care for each other. They show up for each other. And so that's all in the Bonus Child. And then I, like many of you, raised a child as a single parent. So my heart's in these books, and a gift of any amount, you could either get Understanding and Loving Your Child as a Single Parent or Understanding and Loving Your Bonus Child. Not the way God intended it, but the way it so often happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're going to really enjoy meeting Connie Clark here on the program on Wednesday. Well, right now, we're going to go to a break. 1-800-229-3000 is the phone number. It's always the phone number here on this program. And I got to tell you, I just heard from somebody that literally said, I listened until everything changed, and then I listen more. But really, you're going to hear things that could change some perspectives, some ways that you think. I hope you will, and could change everything. 1-800-229-3000. 3,000. Dr. Alice Benton, of course, she and I wrote that wonderful book. She wrote most of it, Understanding and Loving Your Child in a Screen-Saturated World. It's tough out there. 1-800-229-3000.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. By the way, a lot of times I get involved with our supporters and other folks and take a phone call or two, and almost every time it's about an adult-child relationship. And I love working with these. And we're going to do the Courageous Parenting Workshop, Transforming Relationships with Your Adult Sons and Daughters. It's an online workshop, just like Every Man's Battle is online this Saturday. And on August 13, Courageous Parenting. And then Emotional Freedom is online August the 20th. And we're going to do the Repurposed Life online September 24th. Then Mylon, Kay, and I will be in Dallas October 21st and back to Restore on November the 11th. We have a Ryan Cruz. Mylon and I are going to be speaking on that with new material. Right, Mylon? Well, we haven't made it up yet, but we will. And it's October the 6th through the 13th. No vaccination without representation. No vaccination requirement. They changed it. It's really exciting. If you can make it, it could be the trip of a lifetime. Right now, we're going to go to, well, how about we go to Carol, Baltimore, Maryland, fantastic station, WAVA. Carol, how are you today?
I'm good. Happy to be talking to you, Steve.
Thank you. I'm happy to be talking to you. In fact, you know, at my age, I'm happy to be talking at all. But anyway, Carol, how are you and how can we help today?
Well, I want to do a little, just a quick briefing.
Okay.
Calling in regards to a new friend's teenage daughter and what she revealed to me. But I met this friend 8 years ago at church. I'm a strong Christian for the past 12 years. This is a new Christian, the mom. Really wonderful friend supporting me. I've been going through a lot of trials. So this family, I met the family for 8 months. I've met the kids a number of times, and they know about me that I have come through very many traumatic trials, and that my faith is strong, and I have a lot of love to give. And it's so that's what they know about me. On Saturday, this first time the family has come to my house, but I've been with the kids and the family 3 times so far. And when the parents went downstairs, the teenage daughter revealed to me, she gave me questions about my faith, like, and I knew that she wanted to get something out. In 3 questions, we got to the root. She told me she's 15. She said in 8th grade, she was molested by a neighbor, and she didn't finish. She was raped, having something to do with soccer. And I think she does the books for soccer. And I took care of her. I'm a trauma victim myself that I've overcome with Christ. Complete. She hasn't told anything. No.
Okay. What's the question then for us? What's the question?
The question is, when is the safest and healthiest time to let the parents know?
Okay. Now, I got a question for you other than that. If you're on some kind of speaker or earphones or something like that, it cuts out regularly here. That's what we're hearing. If you could get to a regular thing, that'd be great. But I'm going to start with Alice, PhD. Alice, now that you've heard this, I'm thinking, and Mylon, that there is somebody out there that rapes people, molests people, nobody's done anything about it. So what do you think she should do?
Well, Carol, I would want to find out why she hasn't yet told her parents, and if there is some risk in telling them, emotional risk or risk.
I already found that out.
What did she say?
Before I knew this information on Saturday, I already know the teenager from the mother. Is a problem. She's difficult. She's a problem. No specifics. But when I met the daughter, beautiful, smart, loving, kind. So, again, that's just my outside opinion. And the mother is very, very corrective. She's got a little brother who has ADHD, overcorrecting. And so when she goes, I ask, what happens if we tell, they'll blame me. They'll think it's my fault. Because when she confessed before it came out, she says, I'm all in pieces. I can't get myself together and bad decisions. And I think that, you know, that's, and this is 2 years she's been, and I think it's two separate people. A neighbor molested her and a different person, a different person raped her. I didn't do any questioning. I just spoke to the victim. I said, I hugged her. We cried. I'm sorry. It's not your fault. I love you. You're a beautiful girl. I catered to that. And then in just enough information,
The
family came upstairs and I.
Okay. We want to give you some help here. So now that you know that, okay. Alice, what do you think? And then we'll turn it over to Mylon.
I think it still depends on a couple of factors. If the molestation and the sexual assault and rape is ongoing and or likely to happen again soon, action needs to be taken, I think, immediately, even though there's a risk that her parents will blame her. Her safety and the safety of other potential victims trumps her concern about her parents' emotional blame. What did you say, Carol?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely agree. I feel like I'm 100% sure it was a one-time incident 2 years ago.
So what I would attempt is to ask for the daughter to cooperate, letting her know you can't keep this information private, but you can strategize with her who to tell first, but that action does need to be taken right away. And so you lay out the options with her, whether it's we talk with the school counselor, you talk with the school counselor, maybe you help set up that appointment. We call the authorities together. We help face your parents together, and we tell them, even though they may blame you. And so lay out these options, but action needs to be taken as soon as possible. I would even say today.
Mylon, your thoughts here.
Okay.
Carol, you've been put into a very difficult circumstance.
Yeah.
And we want you to know that we see that. It would be very hard to have to hold on to a piece of information and you don't know what to do with it or exactly how to play this. This sweet little girl, I'm going to say, how old is she now?
15.
15?
Sophomore.
Okay, so,
yes.
So I have grandchildren this age, and I just want to iterate that whoever violated them is still out there. And that makes me really angry as a dad and as a grandfather. It really makes me angry to realize the perpetrator is still out there. And they need to be stopped, checked, arrested. They need to just, something needs to happen for those people to be put into a position where they can't do that anymore. Okay? And so because there's other victims out there that will be, and Steve already said this, but I want to reiterate it, it's the protection of this girl and it's the protection of other people, all right? Number two, this family has to learn to connect. The mother has already branded the daughter as some sort of a problem, you know, and gives her that title. And that's unfortunate because all 15-year-olds and 16-year-olds and 17-year-olds are challenged. I was just with two of my 17-year-old granddaughters for a week, and that was a challenge. And I can just tell you it's a very difficult age. But she needs an advocate. She needs somebody that can stand up for herself, and she needs to learn to be able to vocalize and advocate for herself. And that's one of the growth goals of being a teenager, to begin to represent and advocate for yourself. And I love what Alice said, that it would be good if she had somebody with her. She needs an adult. And what I would really encourage you to do is do the least amount of talking you can do and encourage the daughter to say whatever it is and tell the daughter, I will be with you, but we need to do everything Alice said. We need to call Child Protective Services. We need to make a police report on this, and we need to tell the parents. And all three of those things need to happen.
Okay. Having heard this, here's what I think might be helpful, Carol. You meet, just like has been said, you meet with this young girl, and you say to her, I realize this is scary. I realize it happened a couple of years ago, but we don't know what is going on with this person. And we have to do what we can to be sure no one is hurt the way you have been hurt. So here's what I, who care about you and the other people out there, I have to do. I have to tell your parents, but maybe we, could tell them together. Mm-hmm. I think it would be important that you not just go to them, but that we do it.
Mm-hmm.
The other option I have is I could, if you think that's just too scary, I could call Child Protective Services, and they could come out, they would talk with you, they would talk to your parents and me, and that's how your parents would find out. Now, when we do talk to your parents, or when I talk to your parents, I'm going to tell them this. This is not the time to feel bad about yourself that your daughter told a stranger and not you first. This is not the time to ask her if she's sure or this is a bad memory that she made up. It's not the time to ask, did you bring this on or did you get in this situation? This is the time that we must take action to help your daughter. And secondly, or firstly, to be sure a person that violates little girls is not out there doing it right now. So that's why I've sought professional help. I talked to a PhD, other people, and this is what they have told me to do. And this is what I'm going to do. I don't know what their reaction would be, but no matter what it is, I think a call to Child Protective Services by you needs to be in the mix. They need to, I would hate for this to be told to the parents and then they decide we're not going to tell anybody else. The number one priority, I think, is for these parents to go from saying this girl is a problem to getting the resources for the girl no matter what the problem is. That's what a great parent does.
Mm-hmm.
A great parent finds the resources that are needed for healing and for help.
You know, Steve, to that point, this 15-year-old sophomore student has been traumatized.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
The need for the correct trauma therapy to help her, it you know, this happened 2 years ago. Maybe that is the reason why the mother is saying she's difficult or hard to work with. You know, she's holding down a lot. And so to also get her into a place where, and here's the sad part. This sweet girl at 15 years old is half adult and half child. They're in that in-between phase where their brain is not, it'll be another 10 years before her brain is an adult brain, you know, just statistically. So I really encourage you to ensure and encourage the family. And then here's going to be a way for you to evaluate your new friend. How does she handle this? You said she's a really good friend, a neat Christian person, but she's overcorrecting? That's going to be important because you'll be able to see how her mother responds to this. And then that will be another thing that you could address and to help bring stability to that family, Carol.
Just the fact that she didn't tell her mother.
That's right.
Throws this out that she's, you know, to you, first chance. She's wanting help, but mom's not safe.
Yeah.
So don't let the parents convince you, we got this handled, don't do anything. That's why I think you really, really need to have Child Protective Services involved. In our city, there is a resource called Prevail, and they deal with all types of trauma in children. And I want to tell you something. They are miracle workers. I don't know if that organization is anywhere else but here. I would hope so. But that's the kind of place you need to encourage them to send this girl, because this is all they deal with. There are places that all they deal with are kids that have been traumatized like this, and they really, really do a great job of helping them to heal. I'm really glad that you called. We're going to go to a break. 1-800-229-3000. That is the number. 1-800-229-3000. I'm going to send you this book, Healing is a Choice. I think there's some really important things in there that maybe if you continue to have access to this young girl, you could help her see some things that really will heal her. But oh my goodness, what an opportunity you've been given to change everything for her. I'm so glad you called and let us weigh in on the situation. 1-800-229-3000.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn. And downtown is a large arena. We had many Women of Faith events here in Indianapolis. But long before that, I was coming here to speak, and it was at the, it was called the Gaither Gathering. Bill and Gloria Gaither would bring together the best speakers and the best musicians. I was sitting in that arena. Chuck Swindoll, who I don't know of anybody that communicates better than him, he stood up on that stage and he said this: some of you in this arena are molesting your daughters or your sons, and I am asking you to stop it and get the help that you need so that it never, ever happens again. And so after a call like that, I just have to stop and say, look, I don't know what wound it was in you that led to be either physically, sexually, emotionally abusive, or a mom that is overly corrective and produces fear. But I'm just asking you to stop that and get the help that you need, because God is a God who is rich in mercy, and you think he rejects you, but he wants to restore you. He wants to repair you, but you have to be the one to reach out and get help. You can do that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We will help you there. In the meantime, if you want to join us on this program, 1-800-229-3000. Let's go to Chris, Cleveland, Ohio. Listens on the podcast. Hi there, Chris. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for taking my call.
Are you in any of the flooding that we're hearing about over there?
No. No, it's not happening here in Cleveland, so.
Okay. Well, how could we help you today?
Okay. Well, I have a 34-year-old son and a 31-year-old daughter, and my question is, how can I conduct a relationship with my son who's up and down? That's my question, and I'll just quickly go over some details. His dad and I had a tumultuous relationship, and we divorced after 23 years, and I am remarried, and to a wonderful man. My children were brought up in the church.
How old were the kids when you remarried?
My son was about 22, and my daughter was 20.
Okay.
And he was in Afghanistan, and he found out about the divorce, and he called, and he was very mad. But that was 12 years ago. And so he's always been very selfish. I've had problems with lying with him, stealing. And now as in the last 10 years, as an adult from age 20 to 34, he, has been very up and down, you know, when we always say, well, you know, Tony's up, so he's going to come around. He's going to participate in Christmas. Well, no, Tony is now down. So he's going to be not coming around. He cannot keep relationships. He has problems at times where he'll come over and just confess substance abuse.
All right, so he's a problem. Get to what you want us to address.
How do I, as a mother, conduct myself? Because when he goes away, he just goes away, meaning he's in the same town, but he doesn't talk to us. He doesn't do any communication at all. We never hear from him. And I will send him a text and say, I love you, and then you know, he'll come over and say, "Oh, Mom, I'm sorry, but I drove to California. It was all night long, and I was on drugs. And then he came back, and now I'm not on drugs anymore." But I mean, I don't. What is that called when people go really high and then go really low and they just hide? I don't even know how to deal with this.
Okay, so you're asking how to have a relationship with him, or how to improve the relationship you have? Is that right?
Because there is no relationship.
Right. All right. Let's start with you, Mylon. What are you thinking when you hear this?
Well, Chris, thank you for your call, and I'm going to say something to you that's very counterintuitive, and it doesn't directly answer your question about what to do with your son.
Okay.
So put on your seatbelt and safety goggles. Okay.
Okay.
You said you had a very tumultuous marriage. What does that do to a child?
Yes.
What is the byproduct of parental discord and unrest and the word tumultuous? You see, the number one thing a child carries and takes away from his home is the emotional atmosphere of that home. Not the...
Mm-hmm.
And they carry that, not in their left brain, which is where we have logic and where we think, but they carry it more in their right brain and also in their body and their somatic responses. And so why does he have trouble with addictions? Why is he so impulsive? We're going to go to a commercial break, Chris, and then I'm going to come back and just share a final thought with you on that. I'm not trying to shame you. I'm trying to give you an answer to explain why your son might be acting the way he is.
And anybody, any woman that's facing divorce, you have to overly communicate with your children, because the husband could be doing all sorts of stuff, but often you're blamed. They expect you to fix it. We'll be back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, we're back, and we haven't finished here with Chris. And it's really a tough situation. Oftentimes, terrible situation with the marriage that it impacts the kids, as Mylon has said. And then no matter what the guy does, often the wife is blamed by the kids because they had this expectation she would fix it, or the husband saying it's her fault, all these kinds of things. Mylon, what else? You were going to say a few other things here to Chris.
Yeah, our kids are crushed when their nuclear family is broken. And they don't understand or necessarily feel, I mean, dad is dad, mom is mom. And when that nuclear family is torn asunder, they really feel that, even though the tumultuous history was there, he was angry when he heard about it. You see, there was something that wanted him to hold it together. Now, I'm going to encourage you to do something I did with my kids when they got older. And Kay Warren did a talk about 5-6 years ago entitled Blind Spots at Saddleback Church. I would recommend you watch that. She asked the question of people that she worked with, what's it like to be on the other side of me? What's it like to be on the other side of me? Our new pastor at Saddleback Church, Andy Wood, said it this way. what's it like to be in my wake?
Ooh.
And tell me how you feel about the divorce. And I want to know how all of this has made you feel. Not what you think about it, but how do you feel about it? And the ability to sit and listen to my kids, their history. So the approach would be more confessional and wanting to hear their experience than for you to try to fix your son or connect with him as though he is the one that has the specific problem. Yeah, he's got a lot going on. But once you confess, then he doesn't have to prosecute anymore.
Right.
And I think
and
he's mad
at me.
Oh, yeah. And I think he's prosecuting with his behavior. He's prosecuting you with his behavior. And look, you're in a hard spot. I really empathize, Chris. But I really want to encourage you that, to start off here would be a very different, counterintuitive place for him. And to sit down with him and say, tell me all the things you're angry with me, about all the things you're angry about to me, toward me. Alice, I've been talking for a while here. Alice, what would you say?
Chris, our children's problematic behavior, of course, needs to be addressed. There need to be consequences and boundaries so we can teach them to grow out of it. But when we start with empathy and confession of our part in it, it tends to give them the grace and the safety that they need to be able to even look at and admit their own problems. They get so defensive and so accusational of us. And when we accept some of the accusation and look for the truth in the accusation, it lowers their defenses. And it lets them eventually, at least it gives them the space to be able to admit, I'm really messed up and I need help. So when my own kids lie and are disrespectful and disobedient, I start with, oh, me too. I've done that before. I still have a problem with lying. I'm still working on it. We're going to pray together. We're going to confess together. And I wonder why you're doing this. I wonder what you're afraid of. I wonder what you're upset about. Would you tell me? And then I also enforce the consequences. And Chris, I also take my grief and upset with my children to a safe sisterhood. Because all the pain you feel watching your son destroy his life, it needs to be grieved and faced. Otherwise, it tends to come out in irritation and criticism and judgment of our children. And all of our parents, all of us parents are vulnerable to that. So I hope you'll find a group of women. It could be one of our New Life groups. It could be a CODA group, which would help you to understand the dynamics of addiction. Lastly, I hope you'll reset your expectations. So rather than expecting, he's going to show up this time, I can't wait to see him, you'll have to lower the expectation to actually, usually he doesn't show up. And when you're braced for that, you can better enjoy the times he does come, but expect that he very well may not until he starts to get help for his addiction.
All right. I just want to add one thing to this, Chris. He is 34, right?
Right.
So, if you talk with him, you should make no suggestions to him about his life. He'll see, you make a suggestion, well, why don't you do this? He will see that as criticism, as judgment. Make no, don't make, don't teach him something over the phone. Same thing, same reaction. No judgment, no suggestion, no teaching. It's all about him. It's all about you wanting to know him and regretting that you haven't reached out to him more through everything he's gone through. Now, you don't have a pity party on the phone with him either, but you acknowledge, I haven't done this before. I want to know you. And it's anybody that's talking to a 34-year-old who's wayward and thinks that they're going to listen to anything you say that they've rebelled against all their life is just absolutely a very flawed strategy. What you want is to win his heart, get his him feeling safe with you, then doors of opportunity start to open up. Okay? So
Yeah, I think that's good.
Okay. So I hope that something there is helpful, and I'm going to send you Mylon Kay's book, How We Love, because I think you're going to see a lot of things in there about how he's developed based on the attachment, how you developed, and maybe you can find some insight that will help you working with him. Also, don't forget, we've got the Adult Parenting Workshop coming up, and that is online, and that's going to be August the 13th. Larry Sonnenberg is in the studio. Larry, what do you have for us today, and thanks for being here.
Sure. Well, speaking of online workshops, Every Man's Battle, this coming Saturday, August 6th. And I don't have to tell you what city it's in because it's online. So you don't have to go anywhere except to find a quiet spot in your home, in your car, wherever. We've had people come to these workshops online from a lot of different little places. So please consider this. And here's why. This is what a gentleman wrote who went to our workshop in January this year. It's crazy how much more life I have now. The hope that I have is incredible. I came feeling alone, knowing that I wasn't the only person with my experience, but never meeting someone else who did. I met a man this weekend who had a story similar to mine. I was able to share my story, which gave him encouragement to share his as well. The freedom I feel speaking things in group that I never have spoken before and being accepted in spite of them makes me know that what the devil meant to harm, God will use for good. I know that I still have a long way to go, but I have hope that I haven't had in years. Thank you.
That's great.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. That's what happens. That's why we're here.
We want you to feel a different side of life than you've had before.
Right.
And to sense God's presence and his movement in your life, and you'll take some steps and it'll be a different life for you.
So how do donations help that, something like that?
Well, donations help because we have to pay people to do things. And I know they pay to come, but we spend a lot of time here on the air talking about it. There's a lot of things that we do in preparing and printing programs, and when we're in person, we're shipping things to the workshop and back, as well as paying airfare, which has gone crazy.
Well, the therapists are
we pay
them what they would have gotten if they'd been doing a day of working with individuals, and we have speakers, and it is not easy to do what we do. It's easier just to have somebody talk, but we don't just talk. We have somebody to process what's happened. You hear something, and then you go talk about it with a licensed clinical Christian counselor.
So, guys, call and tell somebody why you think you can't do this, because we can tell you how and why you can. And we do that because we want to help you. And you're looking for reasons not to because it's scary.
Right.
And there's no shame involved. So give us a call, please. And thank you, everybody who is giving to support New Life.
Yeah.
Makes a difference. Our matching gift is down to $42,848 this morning.
Oh, wow. Thank you, folks.
And if you want to help somebody at Every Man's Battle, you can give a scholarship.
Yes.
And that scholarship will be two scholarships rather than just one. You can find out about that, or you can just say, I want to be part of this, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. As a thank you, we'll send you either Understanding and Loving Your Child as a Single Parent or Understanding and Loving Your Bonus Child, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Larry, for that. If you want to join us on the program, we've got another hour and, 18 minutes to go. So 1-800-229-3000, 1-800-229-3000. We'll go to Elvin right after this from Alberta, Canada. Elvin listens on our app. You can download the app, the New Life Live app, from the App Store. You can sign up for the podcast. It comes right to you. You can go to newlife.com and click on the program there. You can watch it on YouTube right now, the New Life Live YouTube channel.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. I'll mention this. On Thursday at 11 Eastern Time on the NRB Network, you can watch Life Recovery Today. You can also see it at liferecoverytoday.net. Catch up on other episodes. We're really having a great time there, and we're featuring information from other folks there that will impact recovery in a very, very positive way. Also, November 3rd and 4th, Lumina is our conference that's being held at Museum of the Bible. It's a partnership with Museum of the Bible. Nicole C. Mullen is going to be there. Lauren Green McAfee. Ruth Mahatra. What a story she has. And then Jen Wilkin, best-selling author. She's amazing. She's going to be there, too. So please call us 1-800 New Life. Find out all about this. And now we're going to go back to our phones. If you want to join us, got another hour, 15, 1-800-229-3000. Let's go to Elvin, Alberta, Canada, listening on the app. Hi there, Elvin.
Hi, Steve.
How you doing?
How can we help you? Today is I have a 17-year-old son. He got a second DUI last night. And he seems to be very depressed as of late. And he does not share anything with his dad or his mom. And my question for you is, what do I do as a father for him now?
How old did you say he was? 17?
17.
Well, you get him treatment.
RCMP told me yesterday you have 6 months till we have to take over.
You need to get him treatment.
What kind of treatment would you prescribe?
Treatment for his alcohol problem.
I believe it's not the alcohol he's got a problem with. I think there's an underlying issue.
Well, you can't get to the underlying issues with a person that's drinking so much they're getting DUIs and things like that. When they go into treatment, they don't just get them to stop drinking. They start a program, and eventually, once they help them stay stopped, then eventually they will deal with the things that are underlying. But first, you have to get treatment for that alcohol problem. Alice, Mylan, what are your thoughts here?
Elvin, we're sure you're right that there is something that is fueling the way he copes, which is in part with alcohol and in part his disconnection from his parents. So of course, yes, there is something else underneath there. I'm wondering, what is one of the most difficult things your son has experienced within the family unit that might have led to him pulling away so much from you folks?
Well, I'm a sex addict, recovering sex addict. My son has been introduced to porn as well. I think he's partially addicted already. And me and my wife have not been on the same page with raising him. Seems like we always fought how we wanted to raise him.
That humility in your confession, Elvin, is very helpful. Are you currently receiving structured professional treatment as you're in recovery from sex addiction?
I was in counseling for a year and a half. And now I'm not in counseling right now, but I'm listening to lots of books, Fight, the Lazman series, the Every Man's Battle series.
Elvin, why did you stop? Why did you stop therapy?
The counselor figured I was probably good. And I fell back. I fell off the bandwagon about a year and a half ago. And 5 years ago, I started with recovery.
It would be so helpful to your son to see you, his father, continue to model getting help for yourself, even if it's the maintenance of your sobriety. He needs to experience your ongoing humility and acknowledgement that, of course, you're still broken, even during the times that you have success with your sexual sobriety. There's still a brokenness within the home itself. And so adding either individual therapy or some family counseling on to the substance abuse help that your son needs would really open the doors up for the whole family to get healing, Elvin.
Okay.
I mean, it sounds like to me, if you were involved in attending some meetings, maybe he would go with you. Maybe not the first time you ask, but maybe the second or the third. Mylon, I want to get, before we have to go, I want to get your thoughts here.
Well, I'll be very brief. Elvin, I echo Alice's words, your humility and honesty. Gosh, I really appreciate it, Elvin, mm-hmm. and thank you for calling us. We're honored to have you call. But you see, Elvin, this is a family problem. This isn't just my 17-year-old son problem. Your son's a reflection of what's going on in your home. And I love what Alice and Steve have already said. Son, we both have problems. And how are we going to beat this? We could do it better as a team if we're helping each other and also bringing into relationship the struggle. So that, and then both going to a program that will give us help. And it is necessary to say, and even to bring your wife into the whole process. I love what Alice said about a family group session. I used to work at a counseling center. And the supervisor said, you know, we're splitting people up too much. Let's remember mm-hmm. we're marriage and family therapists. So we're breaking people up too much. Keep them together was his plea. And have them learn to work things out in your office with you there as the person that contains the family.
Right.
And guides them. So I really would love to see your wife as part of the whole process as well.
And Elvin, when you talk with your son, you could just say that, you know, all of us together here, it's not going well, and I'm going to do some things differently. I want to invite you to join me as I do some things differently, and maybe he would respond to that. But you don't want to be giving him money if he's out getting DUIs and showing that he has a drinking problem. And that's where you and your wife have to come together. And you might want to get help for the two of you so you're unified in what you say to him.
Every Man's Battle is coming up this weekend, Elvin, and we have father-son pairs that attend, and they're in separate groups, but you attend the main seminar sessions together. Please consider that.
And I'll just mention
it's a webinar this year, this week, so they don't even have to leave Alberta, Canada.
Correct. And it's half, less than half of what it would be if you had to go there. So it's a great opportunity. It's affordable. We even have scholarships for the affordable. Now, if you want to join us on this next program, it's 1-800-229-3000. But I want to remind everybody of this message from Romans 5:8 that says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It also means before we were ever sinners, because Christ died before we were born. He knew, and he's not wanting to reject. He wants to restore. If you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I'm going to send Elvin an Every Man's Bible. I'm so glad he called. I hope that will be helpful. Look at the things going on. This Saturday, less than half, Every Man's Battle, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. See you next time.
Bye-bye. Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.